Hi, I'm Jack Holland, and you're listening to the Ravens Weekly.
You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me. And that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Anyway, welcome to episode 3 of the official Bromley FC podcast, Ravens Weekly. 3 weeks, 3 episodes.
Hooray!
Unfortunately, we're still looking for our first league win of the season, first 3 points. Anyway, we know the boys are working hard, we know it's going to come. As ever, I'm joined by David Cook.
Hello.
Matt Hall.
Hello.
And James Tanner's joined us again on this week.
Hello.
Coming up on this week's show,
you could be we review matches against Harrogate Town and Eastleigh.
We catch up with defender Dan Johnson and new goalkeeping coach Chris Dixon.
We look ahead to this Saturday's match against Gateshead, and we also pick out some of the all-time Bromley FC five-a-side teams as sent in by you, the supporters.
Brilliant. So another jam-packed podcast episode coming up. Must admit, I'm looking forward to hearing fellow fans' favourite five-a-side Bromley FC dream team selections.
There's going to be a lot of variation, isn't it? I think more so than the favourite opening game of the fans chose.
Yeah, we? Definitely looking forward to that. I think first up, we're going to review the home game against Harrogate.
That's right. And Matt and James, you're on hand to take us through that.
Okay, so we are here at Hayes Lane in the build-up to the Harrogate Town match. We have got the teams now in, so I'm going to run through that quickly. One, obviously, started in goal, David Gregory. Two, Toby Adebayo Rowling. Three, Dan Johnson. Four, Frankie Sutherland. Five, Roger Johnson. Six, the captain, Jack Holland. Eight, Frankie Raymond. Nine, Omar Bagheel. 17, Reece Meekins gets a start today. 18, George Porter. And another man getting a start this afternoon, Junior Agedi Azukwe, number 19. The bench for Bromley is 13 Max Huxter, 7 Bobby Joe Taylor, 15 Mark Anthony Okoye, 16 Jake Goodman, and 20 Aidan Enver. James, what's your thoughts on that lineup? Bit of a change from Tuesday's game against Dover.
Yeah, I suppose one thing is it's good to see a couple of changes coming in. Obviously, we didn't get the win on Tuesday night, but there's some good performances out there. They're positive changes, attacking changes. We've got Junior coming into the starting lineup, and we've got Reece, who I think everyone's taken a liking to since he's been here. Lots of pace, a direct style of play, and it's something that fans love to see, you know, someone getting right at the opposition defence. I think it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out, maybe a new formation or change from formation of how we've seen so far. I think it could be a good change, hopefully get some attacking plays in there and finally get that win, first win of the season.
Well, like you say, it's definitely a more attacking formation. We'll be back at half time with our summary of the first 45. Okay, so it's half time here at Hayes Lane in the clash against Harrogate Town. We lead 1-0 thanks to George Porter's 12th minute goal, but in truth, James, it could have been 2, 3, 4.
Oh, it could have been. George could have had a hat-trick amongst other players. Omar Bagheel could have had a few. It's been quite outstanding. James Belshaw has pulled off an absolute world. You have a performance in his first half, keeping it down to 1-0. And those Harrogate Town players and the manager will have so much to thank him for. In truth, they've actually, you know, started okay. It was a very open sort of first few minutes, I think I'll be right in saying. And that defence just seemed to sort of open up at some points in the game, and our attack just seemed to overpower them at times. And really interesting game so far. How we haven't scored more, as you say, I really don't know.
We touched on it before the game, didn't we, that this was certainly more attacking formation, and you can definitely see that come to fruition now. We've been really, really free flowing in every single attack, and like you say, George Porter hitting the post as well. Keeper was beaten on that one, I must say, but unfortunately for George, it sort of hit the inside of the post and then rolled across the goal and out of the danger area. But like you say, James, Belshaw has been absolutely fantastic. I think even the goal perhaps was more easy save than some of the other saves he's made. It looks like it's going to be a tough ask to get past him in the second half. In truth, we should be further ahead, but a really, really good opening half, apart from the first couple of minutes where he looked a little bit shaky. We played really, really well, so let's hope that can continue in the second half.
And a tough ask it proved to be, as Bromley failed to extend their lead in the second half and unfortunately were ultimately pegged back with 15 minutes to go.
Yeah, I think in a game like that where you have so many chances in the first half and you're not able to take them as such due to the fantastic goalkeeper, you always get that feeling sort of deep down that you might live to regret that. And unfortunately we did so, like you say, Jeff, not long left to respond to that equaliser and we weren't able to. So we had to settle for a point in the end.
And following the draw, Matt, you caught up with manager Neil Smith.
Neil, a 1-1 draw against Harrogate today. I think you'll be hard-pressed to find a more one-sided first half, in truth.
Yeah, we should have come in 2 or 3 up. Fair play to their goalkeeper. He had a game of his life today, you know, pulling them off. We were hitting the target. It was something we were working on during the week. We need to make, you know, be more dominant going forward. George Porter was outstanding. I thought Rhys Meekham's, you know, George getting the goal, and then Junior and Omar up front were working well together and we're creating chances. You just think, get that second one and I think that'll be game over. But, you know, it wasn't to be, and then you're always going to be leaving yourself open for a scrappy goal or a free kick or a corner that then puts you under pressure, and it's exactly what happened.
What was the message at half-time? I mean, it's really difficult when the thing that's stopping you is out of your control as such, in the goalkeeper.
Yeah, we were just saying create and shoot. As long as you're hitting the target and making the keeper work, you know, you hope that you can't get to one or there's a deflection. And they did everything I asked for. It's just the goals against, you know, it's a fourth one on the spin that's exactly the same, and we've got to prevent it.
And George Porter played out wide today, put in a great shift, and like you say, could have had a few goals today.
Yeah, he scored one, hit the post, had a couple of rebounds, got himself in good areas. You know, he threw himself about for the team today. You know, I asked him to do a job that he's probably not used to, and he grabbed it with both hands. You know, and Rhys Meekham's, I thought, was, as I said, first half was outstanding. Just tired towards the end, so I've got to worry about that, but other than that, I thought he was outstanding.
We travelled to Eastleigh on Tuesday. They've just won 2-1 at Barnet, so not going to be an easy one.
No, it never is. You know, I know Hess really well. You know, he's got a big side down there. You know, he's got plenty of players to pick from. Obviously on the win as well, going away to Barnet was a great result. So no, we've got to come back. There were some really, really good things and positives that I'm going to take from it, but you know, the one negative is the fact that we're gifting goals away to the opposition. I thought up until then, I thought Roger and Jack and really marshalled the back four, and you know, maybe a lack of concentration, it's just cost us again. But you know, we haven't lost. We go in 2 games unbeaten, and you know, going into a tough game against Eastleigh.
Thank you, Neil.
No worries.
Obviously up next was Eastleigh away. However, before that, during the week, Matt, you managed to catch up with Dan Johnson, and here's what a defender had to say.
Dan, you obviously signed a new contract with us in the summer. How does it feel to be on board for another year?
Yeah, it's good to be back for another year. I'm looking to push on from last year, maybe hopefully play a few more games, and I'm looking to push on from where we did as a team last year as well. It was a good season, but always looking to improve.
And speaking of which, it's been we've had some difficult games so far this season, with 2 draws and a defeat. How do you feel it's progressing at the moment?
I mean, I know we haven't got a win yet, but from each game we've been improving as a team. We're getting better and better, and we should have had the win on Saturday, but it's coming. Each performance, we're getting better as a whole unit. Individual performances are improving. It's coming. It's round the corner. We've just got to wait for it.
And we've seen you playing a couple of positions last season. You seem to be playing mainly left back or left wing back this season. How have you felt the transition's gone?
Yeah, I think it's been well. It's always hard to change position when you're used to one position, but I think it's gone well so far. A few little things need to work on, but yeah, it's gone well.
And obviously a goal for you in pre-season and your first goal for the club, official goal against Dover. How did that feel?
Yeah, it was good. It's been two and a bit years now I've been here, so it's nice to get that first goal for the club.
Always nice to hear from Dan Johnson there. And as Jeff, you mentioned beforehand, up next was Eastleigh away. And Dave and Matt, you were on commentary duty for that game.
Absolutely, and here's our summary of events from the Silver Lake Stadium. He couldn't quite get there, and Eastleigh on the attack again with Williamson. And he tries to play a ball through to Zabrowski, gets a cross into the box, and it's 1-0. Again, that cross to the back post, and it's a simple header for Yates, and that is another poor goal.
Bromley exposed there on the back. We already said it a couple of minutes ago when the corner came over, and Bromley already 1-0 behind after 4 minutes, 5 minutes. It's not a good start from Bromley. Just exposed on the back. Bromley really need to tighten up. And we're 1-0 down within 5 minutes, and that's not good.
Mark Anthony sending the ball back to David Gregory.
And that is time.
And that's it here with the Silver Lake Stadium. It has finished Eastleigh 1, Bromley 0.
not a great game, and Bromley fall to their second defeat of the season, only getting 2 points on the ball. Bromley have a lot of work to do before we play Gateshead on Saturday. We want to see as many down at Hayes Lane as possible, just obviously getting behind the guys. They're going to need it right now.
I must admit, I didn't make the trip. I tuned in on the commentary and it didn't sound like a great evening at all, and it must have been even more frustrating for those who obviously made the long trip and were on that terrace.
Yeah, I was there behind the goal on Tuesday night along with the other fellow supporters, and then yeah, the frustration was clear amongst the support. It was one of those tricky evenings. Eastleigh's never the easiest of places to go, but we just made it a little bit difficult on the night, and I'm sure those emotions were shared by yourself and Dave.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And the thing was, it was such a scrappy game. There were very, very few clear-cut chances throughout. Yeah. None for us, really. Eastleigh with a couple. And yeah, just one of those frustrating nights. Wasn't to be for us. We've got to hope we can pick ourselves up now and move forward. David was on hand to catch up with manager Neil Smith after the defeat.
Neil Smith, thank you very much for joining us. A disappointing defeat tonight away to Eastleigh. Just tell me your thoughts on the game.
Yeah, really disappointed. You know, I was really pleased on Saturday with the way we were aggressive with the ball, getting forward, shots, crosses. And tonight was the complete opposite. You know, they put a cross in the box, the guy's on the far post on his own, which wasn't, you know, keep saying the same thing. But then, you know, I was disappointed as well with our forward play. We've been so much better over the last couple of games. We looked like we were going to score, and it looked like someone needed to take responsibility tonight. And you know what we can't have in this team and this squad, players that are fearing making mistakes. You know, if they're going to happen, at least do it in a positive way. And if it means a shot or a cross, and it doesn't happen, I'd rather that than I won't do it now, because I don't want to make that mistake. And you know, I'm going to need people that are willing to stand up and hold their sleeves up and get through this bit.
That's it. And obviously you then put Jack Holland up front to try and counter that with a goal. We know that he's previously been good, especially in set pieces, but it wasn't to be tonight for him either.
No, you say that last 5 minutes we looked like we were going to score, and I think it just puts the opposition under a bit of pressure, and that's all I'm asking for. I'm not asking for miracles from the players. I'm just asking for hard work, you know, commitment to each other. But I'm just seeing, I'm confused about how we were better on Saturday and creating 25 chances on goal. A keeper that gets man of the match and 9 out of 10 and whatever in the paper, to a goalkeeper tonight that didn't have to make a save with the same bunch of players that played on Saturday and played really well. So, you know, that's something we're going to have to sort out. But, you know, I believe in the players. I believe in them wholeheartedly, and I know we're going to get it and turn it right. The supporters were brilliant again today, that, you know, showing their support, and I know they're disappointed. But we'll turn this around.
Well, you heard it there, Neil Smith, just as frustrated as everyone else at the moment, but no doubt clearly focused on turning things around. The first opportunity is going to be against Gateshead this coming Saturday at home at Hayes Lane. More on that later. Next up, we're talking about Chris Dixon.
Yes, Chris Dixon is the new goalkeeping coach here at Bromley Football Club. He joined at the start of the season following the departure of Glyn Schimmel. And Matt, you grabbed an interview with him early on this week.
Chris Dixon, welcome to Bromley Football Club. You are our new goalkeeping coach. How's it feel?
Excellent. To be fair, it's a lovely place. I'm excited to be here.
And how did the move here come about?
So I was at Barnet last year, last season, and then things sort of broke down with people higher up and needed a new challenge. And then a friend of mine put me in touch with Neil, and then the rest was history. Came in, meet him. Met him and the chairman, and then that was pretty much it.
And you have actually been here for a couple of weeks now, obviously had a couple of games. Yeah. Gregory making some great saves as well. How have you found working with him and Max Huxter?
Oh, he's excellent. Greg is a top pro for a young lad as well. He's level-headed, he works hard, and he's taken my ideas on board as well, so we're looking to try and change his game slightly to improve him, but he's excellent. And Max is a credit to him as well, really pushes Gregor's. So yeah.
And how have they found settling into your sort of training regimes?
It's different, I'm not going to lie. It is a little bit different to what they used to do, but they're taking it on board and it seems to be working so far. I mean, he's had, what, 3 excellent performances, one man of the match here. So yeah, fingers crossed, it's all going well.
And although you've only been here a short time, you seem to have integrated into the club really well. How are you feeling?
Like I said, I love it. It's got a heartbeat. It's a lovely club with fantastic staff, fantastic support staff. And I just made me feel welcome since day one, really.
And we obviously take on Gateshead here on Saturday. It's going to be a tough game. They've had a great start to the season, somewhere from near your neck of the
woods. Yeah, it's back home. So I'm from Durham originally, so it'll be nice to see some familiar faces in them. Be a tough game, really tough game, but I think the squad that we have will more than match it, if not get a result, if I'm off.
Chris, welcome to the club once again, and thanks for joining us.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
It was great to catch up with Chris. He seems a really jovial character, loves a laugh and a joke. Proper typical Geordie, I think you
absolutely
have to say. And he really has settled into the backroom team really well. And what I really like as well, seeing him, is working hard with the goalkeepers after the game. He really enjoys the training sessions as well, works the keepers hard. And he actually got involved with our fantastic summer soccer camp this week, spotted actually as he was watching the session. One of the young goalkeepers, Oliver, who's performing really, really well. And he actually took him under his wing for a morning with David Gregory and did some training with him. So I believe we've got a short video on that to come soon on our social media. But what a great gesture from Chris and David Gregory
really
as well.
Brilliant to see. Yeah, and obviously Oliver himself looked like he had a great time. As Chris mentioned there in his interview, we're building up to the Gateshead match, which is this Saturday. And I spoke to Dave Gaddis, who hosts the Heat Army podcast up there, and this is what he had to say ahead of the Saturday's match.
Hello everyone at the Bromley podcast. My name's David. I run the Heat Army podcast, which is the Gated Fans podcast, and I was asked if I could do a summary of the season so far and a little bit of background of the summer, what's been going on at Gated Football Club. You may not be aware, but at the back end of last season, Richard Bennett, who was the then owner and chairman of Gateshead, put the club up for sale. And it was a precarious time throughout the summer. It went very quiet, too quiet, some might say. And we had a takeover bid that fell apart at the 11th hour, which kind of hit everybody in the gut or in the balls. Depends on what kind of humour you've got on your podcast. We were, after that, that takeover fell apart, Richard Bennett decided to keep the club going after admitting that he had even considered folding the club. So we were told it was going to be at a heavily reduced budget, I think slashed by two-thirds, possibly the smallest budget in the National League now. And we were told that it was going to be a lot of local lads, and we all thought maybe from the academy and you know, college side near Gateshead, and we just thought, well, at least we've got a club, let alone, you know, a decent side. And Steve Watson, former Newcastle United player as well, Tyneside boy, has worked miracles so far. He's brought in 14 players from the local area, a few from in Gateshead as well, which has went down really well with the fans. We started off on fire, winning down at Maidenhead, then beating the money boys, Salford, and beating them convincingly as well. And that's not being big-headed or a bit brash, because I am a Gated fan and I love the club, but we showed the character of these young lads that we've been able to sign. And then of course beating Dover as well. And I know this goes out on the Wednesday, so hopefully last night on Tuesday we might have picked up another 3 points or maybe even got a draw. And but regardless of the result on Tuesday night, what a start of the season. It's a very promising group of young lads, and we've been able to bring in former Wolves and Portsmouth and Newcastle defender Mike Williamson to add experience to go in with all these young lads, and hopefully there might be one or two more experienced heads coming into the side. But after an absolutely heartbreaking summer, things are looking quite rosy at Gateshead, and Steve Watson said there's more to come from these young lads, and you can see that. So I say enjoy the game on Saturday, hopefully not too much. And if you are interested, the Heat Army podcast does broadcast on a Wednesday as well, but it's available on all platforms. So if you want to hear us talking about our game away to Bromley, please tune in. And also on the return fixture, we do match commentary. So I say good luck for the rest of the season, and thank you for having me. Also as well, just before I go, I forgot to mention that a week before the season started, we were eventually taken over by Dr. Rajan Vagesi, a Hong Kong businessman. So, you know, that is another string to our bow from starting off well. We've got a new owner and things look very bright. Sorry I missed that little bit out, but enjoy the game on Saturday.
Bit of an impromptu one now, we didn't expect this. Jackie's just walked in, our bar manager, and she's actually she's just actually discussed her top five players with us. Jackie, do you want to take it away?
Matt, my top five players are, since I've been here, Andy Walker, who is an absolute wow. Jack Holland, Nick McDonald, Louis Dennis, and of course Tudu.
I like that. That's fantastic. Jackie, put that into perspective. How long have you been here?
Too long.
Brilliant. A great interruption there from Jackie. I'm not quite sure she chose her Bromley FC five-a-side team based on footballing ability, if I'm all honest. Before that, we were talking to Dave of the Heed Army podcast. Big thanks to Dave there for dropping us an audio note and giving us a bit of an insight into Saturday's opposition. More on that later. On last week's podcast, we asked supporters to let us know your best dream team, five-a-side team, of Bromley players that you've seen play during your period. And I think we managed to get a wide selection, whether it's emails, on Twitter. So a big thank you to everybody who sent in their requests. I think we're going to start with James.
Yeah, we're starting on the emails. Adam Holvey said, hi guys, loving new season of podcasts. Keep up the good work. My team would be Andy Walker, Sam Wood, Jack Holland, Louis Dennis and Gareth Williams.
Fantastic. Sue Spencer on Twitter come back with her favourite five-a-side team would be Andy Walker, Rhys Prestige, Gareth McCleary, Jamie Slabber, Adolf Amoko.
Steve on Twitter, my Bromley FC five-a-side team would be Joe Welch, Rob Swain, Danny Waldron, Louis Dennis and Warren McBean.
Another one on Twitter is Ronan Howard. He says his favourite five-a-side team are David Gregory, Jack Holland, Pierre-Joseph Dubois, Louis Dennis and Jamie Slabber.
Ian Pendlebury is next and he says Martini in brackets need a flexi keeper, Luckett, McCleary, Wordsworth and Dennis.
Blood and Sand on Twitter at Bromley FC five-a-side, Curtis Hayes, Curtis Warmington, Simon Osborne, Dean Wordsworth and our club chairman Jerry Dulk.
I'll leave that.
And then we go to Lee Johnson now, who says number one is Jack Holland, number two is Jack Holland, number three is Jack Holland, number four is Jack Holland, number five is Jack Holland.
Ben Stark on Twitter at Bromley FC, my team would be goalkeeper Alan Junion, defenders of Jack Holland, Luke Wolfenden and then Frankie Raymond in midfield with Moses Emmanuel up top.
Nathan Denny now, and he says Julian, Dunn, Minshew, Porter and Wall might not play well, but you definitely let them in or else.
And that's it. And Derek Morris on Twitter says, loving the podcast, chaps. Keep them coming. His five-a-side team would be Gregors, Holland, Wolfenden, Mecky and Louis Dennis.
Matt Dozer on Twitter, he's given us a selection of five-a-side teams here going through the years, going through the decades even. Start off with a 90s team. That's Danny Harwood, Ollie Adeji, Keith Sherman, Kirk Watts and Mark Tompkins. A mid-2000s team for him is Wes Fodringham, Harrison Dunk, Gareth McCleary, Ryan Hall and Warren McBean. And a more recent one, David Gregory, Jack Holland, Louis Dennis, Pierre, Joseph Dubois and Josh Rees. Just a few there from him.
It's good tweets are no longer restricted to 150 characters.
Yeah, I think Matt's having his cake and eating it there as well. And another one, Paul Richard been a bit cheeky here. He's gone for a sub as well. So his five is Malcolm Broadway, Jack Holland, Graham Brenton, Alan Scottin, Gareth McCleary and Louis Dennis as a sub.
Steve Denny says his favourite five-a-side team would be David Gregors, Sam Wood, Jack Holland, Louis Dennis and Bradley Goldberg.
And finally, Jamie Thomas says David Gregory, Jack Holland, Josh Rees, Louis Dennis and Moses Emmanuel.
Fantastic. A great number of responses there. Thanks so much. Great to hear from everyone as always. I suppose we've probably got to go through our dream team, five-a-side team. I think five-a-side there being the most important thing. I think something we should all, that's what we wanted to focus on. We asked you for your five-a-side team. For those of you who don't know, we tend to try and record this podcast during the week. Some evenings we get it done and we finish off in the morning, etc. And unfortunately, last night, Cookie, our colleague, had to leave us while we were trying to finish off the last bit. So he managed to send his five-a-side team in via WhatsApp audio note. So obviously you've heard loads already, you've heard loads of teams. What I want you to do is just have a quick listen to this one and see if you could just notice something quite unique about this team. I think, just have a listen and see if you can spot it.
Wes Fodringham in goal. I think he's sensational. And look where he is now at Rangers. It's incredible for him. Gareth McCleary and Jack Holland at the back. I've been here, probably as long as Jack Holland now. And I remember when he signed for the club and it was exciting. And then obviously coming back to the club after he left Palace. It's sensational. And then you look at Gareth McCleary and what he's gone on to do in the Championship with Reading. Gareth Williams was a player that I had good memories with to start off with when I first started being a Bromley fan, so he's definitely in there. And then going up to it, Bradley Goldberg, who obviously got us from the Conference South into the National League with how fantastic he was at goal scoring in the Conference South. And then last but by no means least, it's going to be George Poulter. Might divide a few people, but I think he's what he's like at the club and in the dressing rooms, etc. I think he's absolutely incredible and a fantastic character to have around the club. And yeah, I think a lot of fans get to see that as well. So that is my top five, guys.
Brilliant. There we go.
County's the most strong point.
That was Cookies 5/6 aside team there for Bromley FC.
We'll play football, do a six aside league here at Bromley Football Club on Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays. So I thought do a six aside.
Brilliant. Absolutely fantastic. Okay, so we've had Cookies. Matt and James, but you're going to give us your five aside teams.
Yeah, I'll go for mine first. I think Matt needs a little bit more thinking time. So I'd start with Andy Walker in goal. I'd have Sam Wood at the back, Gareth McCleary, Louis Dennis as the playmakers, and I'd have Nick McDonnell up top.
You've actually done a formation on your notes.
I have. I've got proper busy on this one.
Management stuff.
yeah. For me, I've only been sort of around since 2011, so I'm going to only go for players that I've seen play for Bromley. In goal, I'm going to go with David Gregory. I think he's got a lot of potential. Jack Holland, fantastic captain, been here through good times and bad. I'm going to go for Josh Rees in midfield. I think he offered a bit of everything. Obviously, plenty of goals defensively as well. His game was really good. And up front, Louis Dennis and Moses Emmanuel. And I think those two speak for themselves in terms of the goals they scored and the partnership as part of the trio with Anthony Cook. I'm trying to remember what that was called, Flair Gang, that was it. Yeah, so that's mine.
Fantastic. Another big thank you to everybody who took the time out to send us your dream team five-a-side teams. We've got another question this week for this week's podcast. For next week's podcast. Our question is, what is the best Bromley FC goal you've ever seen? Live, not live on telly. Obviously, that's something we get used to now moving forward. But your best Bromley FC goal you've been. Technically, it might not be the best. It might be for other reasons. It might be the story behind it. It could have been a celebration. It could have been anything. But we'd love to hear from you. Whatever it is, whether it's a story behind it, whether it's just a superb strike. Really looking forward to hearing what everyone's got to say. And Matt, you're going to take through how people can let us know?
Absolutely. You can email us at podcast@bromleyfc.co.uk or you can tweet us at @BromleyFC on Twitter using the hashtag RavensWeekly.
And just before we wrap up this week's podcast,
A lot of people have started using it, so I thought, why not? Let's pick it up.
Hashtag RavensWeekly, love that.
Just as I was saying there, a couple more mentions just to give before we wrap up this week's podcast. We've got our Players and Supporters Quiz Night happening this Saturday after the Gateshead match. Tables are still available. Priced at £30 a team. You can book ahead of the game or you can do so on the day of the game by speaking to Jackie behind the bar. And Cookie, I believe you have one more shout out to make.
Yeah, I'll do. Fantastic news announced from Dave Roberts this week that he's going to be launching a new book. I believe it's going to be called The Long, Long Road to Wembley. It's going to be published by a company called Unbound. He's looking for funding, obviously. I know he writes these books and doesn't make too much money from it. So he set up like a crowdfunding. So anyone looking to make a pledge, he's got some deals on there for certain amounts pledged. You can go to unbound.com/books/BromleyFC. Be fantastic. He's already received so much support. Give him some more.
And he's at the Bromley Boys on Twitter as well, isn't he?
That's it. So go on and check him out. It's going to be fantastic. I can't wait to read that one as well.
Brilliant. I think that about wraps us up for this week's episode. A big thank you to everybody again who submitted, tuned in, listened, downloaded, subscribed. I think we're on iTunes and Spotify and everything like that, so you can subscribe for all of those services. Up next, obviously, is Gateshead on Saturday. As ever, a usual reminder, the admission prices are the same if you purchase them online in advance of the game. I think you can do that right up until 1 o'clock on Saturday. There's no midweek game next week. However, we will be back with another episode, hopefully for episode 4, 4 weeks, 4 podcasts, yep. Suchwood. Again, big thank you for everyone. Thank you to Matt.
Thank you.
Thank you to James.
Thank you.
And obviously Cookie's here as well.
Thank you.
We'll be back again next week. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.